You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you've taken a flight recently, chances are you might have flown out of Sacramento International Airport, which has for almost 2 years now seen record-breaking travel, with millions of people passing through SMF. And the airport has also been hard at work changing the experience for travelers, which we've talked about here on Insight before. From adding new places to grab a bite, to a new parking garage, and other projects to improve the airport for years to come. And maybe someday, more nonstop international flights. Stephen Clark is the Deputy Director of Commercial Development at Sacramento International Airport and joins us with an update. Welcome back.
Good afternoon. It's always a pleasure to be here.
All right. So a record year last year. How many travelers passed through Sac International Airport?
13.9 million.
And how does that compare to years past?
Yeah, it's an absolutely incredible amount of growth for us. So in the year prior, we had just under 13.5 million. So we're just continuing that growth for us. It's a nice steady amount of growth. It's a sustainable amount of growth is what we like to say. We're not spilling out of the aisles, if you will. So it's just incredible to see that growth for us.
What is driving this growth?
Yeah, so if you kind of look at what's going on in our region, so Sacramento International actually, we obviously serve Sacramento, which is kind of our mainstay, but we actually serve the 8 counties that surround there as well. So actually 30% of our passenger traffic comes from Placer County as well. But if you think about kind of all of those areas that are around, we serve all of them as well. And so that's really what it is. So we're serving all of those residents. And really what's really been unique as of last year is we brought 400,000 more passengers who would have used the Bay Area airport and brought them into SMF and have them now flying out of Sacramento International, which is really exciting for us.
Wow. So they're willing to drive, is it splitting the difference in half? Like, where are they coming from in the Bay Area?
Yeah, so it's actually kind of a mix, right? So what we're seeing, and this is actually something we've been really targeting, is if you're kind of sitting in that kind of we call them a battleground, right? So if you're kind of sitting in the middle and you're sitting there booking your flight and you have a choice, you can kind of turn to the right and go to the Bay Area airports, or you can go to the left. We want you to make the left choice, right? We want you to come to SMF because it's a better experience, right? That's what 400,000 more people chose to do last year, and we're glad that they did.
When it comes to growth, how does SMF compare to other airports in California or around the country? Is there a larger trend here in growing amount of travelers passing through airports?
Yeah, so if you look at SMF as it compares to like California-based airports, we're certainly bucking the trend. I think a lot of the California airports are just now kind of getting themselves back to those kind of like pre-pandemic numbers. We've been in growth mode now for several years, right? We've already exceeded those pre-pandemic numbers, and we're growing. And if you look kind of at the larger national picture, Sacramento falls in those mid-size airports and that are growing, and we're doing quite well. One of the most remarkable things is really in the last 3 years, we've added on almost 20 new nonstop destinations. That's a remarkable number no matter where your airport's at, but for us to be a California airport, it's absolutely fantastic and is a testament to what our region's economy is doing, as well as what our folks are, the demand is for travel.
And you and I have talked about this before, those nonstop flights. The East Coast can be a challenge. What goes into locking down a nonstop flight at the airport?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last time, right? It's like speed dating, right? So it's about working with the airlines and telling them what's going on. And one of the things that we continue to see is the diversification of our businesses and our residents and where they want to go, and really working with the airlines to tell that story. And the good thing for us is that story continues to be becoming more and more diverse. And that helps us, right? So helping get those flights that go to the East Coast. We saw even more international flights into Mexico, more leisure destinations. Our target is still to get that first ever transatlantic international flight. That's where we want to go. That's what we know the community wants. Heck, I want that as well. That's my number one charge here in the community. But ultimately, we have a portfolio that we want to serve nonstop, and we're just going after it as aggressively as we can.
And when you're talking about transatlantic, if you had it your way, would that be Europe?
Yeah, I think Europe makes the most sense, right? And you look at kind of what our business community is, we are in the top 5 of the most unserved markets in the United States without a flight to Europe. And if you think about what's kind of going on in our community with some of the businesses that are coming here, you know, Bosch is a really natural one for us. You look in Roseville, you know, that's a really natural connection. You know, how can we connect these businesses that are coming into our community? But also, if you look in Rancho Cordova, like a Solidime, you know, those are businesses that are growing. They're going to need to connect into Asia. And long term, how does our airport system, Sacramento International specifically, how do we support these companies and the region's growing needs to connect into a global network?
And when you joined us last, this was about a year or two ago, mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned something like this, a transatlantic flight mm-hmm. could take several years. What needs to change at SMF to make it attractive to have a nonstop flight to Germany?
Yeah, so runways and taxiways, we're doing really good, right? We have the infrastructure to do that. Really, the big thing for us is getting our community behind it, making sure they're going to support it. One of the big things that we have to be mindful of is San Francisco is not far away, right? It's, you know, it's under 100 miles away for, and they have a ton of service. And when an international carrier is going to serve a transoceanic flight, they're going to spend $25+ million to support that operation. And they're going to want to make sure that people are going to use that flight. And so that's one of the big things that we're working with those carriers. And so they see that the traffic and the demand is there out of Sacramento. We know exactly how many people, there's more than 1 million travelers that live in our region that drive to the Bay Area and fly to Europe. We know exactly how many there are. We got to make sure we tell that story that they're actually going to use that flight, because the worst thing we could do is get that aircraft, get those crews here, and then folks just continue to drive to the Bay Area. You know, that's just one way to really lose that relationship with the airline. So it's a very delicate dance. And that's, you know, why last time I was here, I said it really takes us, you know, 3 to 5 years to really get that work. We've been very fortunate to meet with the airlines now in their headquarters in Europe multiple times. And we continue to build that relationship. We're really encouraged by that.
So when do you think it could happen if you had it your way?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd like to do it today. That would be great. I'd make that announcement on air. But no, I'm on the clock here, right? And so, you know, I think the last time I met you, I said 3 to 5 years. So that gives me like 2 to 4 years, right?
Two to four
years. So that's what I'm continuing to say publicly. So I think I'm going to stay on that.
All right. And maybe a little bit sooner. I know you're ambitious about it. It's a big goal of yours.
That's my job, right?
So, okay, you've been having sustainable consecutive growth at the airport. But I would imagine there's growing pains as well. Where are the pain points?
Yeah, I think anytime you're building large infrastructure, you have to be mindful that there's going to be impacts. And for us, it's about getting through those as quickly and as safely as we can. And so where we're seeing those is obviously in parking, right? And that's really a little bit of a change that we saw through the pandemic. You talk about that area that we serve, right? 8 counties. You know, there's not, when you have a county or when you have a service area that's so large, people are driving in and they want to have that close in parking. Unfortunately, we can't just build a parking garage overnight. If we could, I think we would have hired that organization to build it immediately. So that's probably our number one area, is how can we get parking built as quickly and as safely as possible?
Has there ever been a situation where the parking was just at capacity? Because that's actually been a worry of mine. Like, yeah. If you drive, and what if everything's taken up? There's really nowhere to park close by to leave your car.
Yeah, no, I can say unequivocally, there's never been a situation where we've run out of parking. Our operations team is fantastic, the best in the business. That is a charge that our team has, is we will not run out of a parking spot for you. And, you know, there's a ton of work that goes into making sure, especially as we get into the holidays specifically. You know, one of the things that we are very blessed with at Sacramento International is space. This last year, we built a new South Economy lot, which is just right off of I-5. It's actually one of the more convenient lots that's available for folks to pull into. It's right off the freeway. It has direct shuttle service, so it doesn't have multiple stops. It's just right there. It's actually kind of a little bit of a hack for many people to kind of come in right there. You're not having multiple stops, where some of the older economy lots are a little bit longer. I shouldn't say older. The ones that have been around for a little longer, they have multiple stops. They just take a little bit longer to get through. That South Economy lot, a little bit smaller, but it allowed us to really kind of serve a need while we were building some of the other parking. And it'll stay in the program long term as well, too.
Okay, so that south lot is already operational?
Already operational, gets used every day. Yeah, it's open, yeah.
And you're also building another parking garage, correct?
Yeah, so one of the things that folks will see when they come out to the airport is the skyline is changing absolutely rapidly. Auto Construction and the team has been building a brand new parking garage, which is equal to the size of the existing garage. It is on schedule, on budget to be completed by the fall of this year. So last time I think we talked, we had just broken ground. And so, you know, that's our commitment to getting through this as safely and as quickly as we can. And here we are. We're almost there.
And you're also building a pedestrian walkway. I mean, anyone who travels out of Terminal B and you take the people mover, you're seeing a lot of construction go by adjacent to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is kind of another piece of operational resiliency. We know that if you're using Terminal B, which is where Southwest, Alaska, you know, many of our international carriers that we have now, you know, that the train can sometimes be a little bit of a pressure point for us, especially later in the evenings. You may have to wait for a few trains. The pedestrian walkway allows us to open that space and you can walk. You know, there are movable walkways as well. So for those who want to just take a little bit more of a leisurely role, you know, hopefully you're standing on the right-hand side for us, please. You can actually then, you know, kind of enjoy there that space. And we're activating that space with artwork as well. So it's more than $2 million of artwork as well. So you can actually enjoy that space as you're moving through it, because it is a longer space. And so, you know, really just trying to think more purposefully, how can we move our community through that area operationally, because we know we're growing.
What went into choosing the artwork? Are they locally based?
Yeah, so it's actually a little bit of a mix. So one of our pieces about this $1.4 billion SMF Forward program is we wanted to put $11 million worth of artwork into that entire program. And so multiple opportunities have gone into that. So there's a little bit of local artwork, there's a little bit of regional artwork, there's a little bit of a call for national artwork. So what you're going to see as you go throughout the whole entire infrastructure, you're going to see a little bits of all of it. And so we're really excited as that space opens up. Actually, the pedestrian walkway will open this summer as well. You'll actually get to see that artwork. You get to experience it. And the beautiful thing about the pedestrian walkway is those are immersive art pieces. You're going to be walking through those. An example of those is going to be, you know, as you're walking through the hub, which is the main large building, which has a 30-foot elevation change, you're going to see just this beautiful piece with bird. It really is mimicking birds flying through. It's the Natomas Basin. It's the story of the birds that fly through the Natomas Basin. You know, it's just this beautiful piece that we're going to be having in there that will be enjoyed by everyone for many, many years to come.
Yeah, an homage to the Pacific Flyway.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you gauge traveler experience? I mean, you mentioned you want to grow, but you don't want to grow too fast because that affects the experience mm-hmm. of travelers, and that wouldn't be good for the airport if there are other options around. How can you gauge like what the traveler experience is like? I mean, what have been some of the criticisms and concerns as you're growing?
Yeah, I mean, like any other infrastructure that's growing, it's all about a listening game. And our operations team, our social media team, all of us on the team, you know, there are nearly 400 professionals at the Department of Airports. We're in this community. We use the airport as well. And I think it starts there, right? We're out in the facility. We're listening. We're trying to address the concerns that are coming up. I think the things that we hear are very typical of airports that are under construction, right? We talked about parking already. I think the other one that we hear too is just getting folks through with signage, right? When you have, construction walls up and people have, you know, especially those who travel through airports, our airport specifically quite frequently, they're kind of used to going the same ways multiple times. So if we're going to change your course of your path that you normally take, we want to make sure that we're being very thoughtful about the signage. And if we confuse you in any way, we want to address that quickly. And so that's really being proactive. One of the things I will share is last year we have more volunteers than we've ever had.
Volunteers.
Yeah. So we have volunteers that are in the airport now. We've had them for many years, but now we have more volunteers than ever before that are in the airport to help guide you. And they're there to help answer questions. Many of them have been former airport employees who have now come back after they've retired because they're dedicated to making sure that you have a great experience. And so it's kind of like an all hands on deck approach because, you know, again, we're going to have moments where we're going to need to take things down and put a wall up temporarily. But the idea is that we're going to get through it as safely and quickly as we can.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Stephen Clark from Sacramento International Airport about some of the improvement projects going on this year. So I just flew out of Terminal A about a week and a half ago, and I saw some new dining options, new restaurants. Yeah. Now, this was announced back in 2024. Now it seems like it's actually taking shape and people can actually eat local restaurants at both Terminal A and Terminal B.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, it's probably the most exciting thing that you think about when you come into the airport. you want to be able to have an experience when you've kind of come through security, you've kind of settled down a little bit, and you want to experience a dining option that is the greater Sacramento region. And we're delivering on that every day now.
Yeah. I've at other airports as well, and I think it's just common at most airports, airport food can be very expensive,
yep.
And the quality is not great. So how are you accounting for that as you're bringing in new restaurants and new dining options?
Yeah, so I think a couple of things, and it starts with culture. When we started this program, you know, going back even into 2022, 2023, we wanted to build a culture where we wanted to work with local purveyors, local chefs, because at the end of the day, if they have the skin in the game, right? That food that they're going to put on the table in front of you at the airport, we want it to be as similar as what you're going to experience, whether you're downtown or in Roseville or anywhere else. That's step one. Step two, we wanted to kind of change the paradigm about airport pricing. And that's a really common thing to say, you know, right? Airports are very expensive places to get food. And what we went back and looked at how we structured agreements at the airport for our food and beverage operators. And the way airport agreements had worked in the past had been kind of street plus pricing. And so effectively what that means is the airport said, okay, concessionaire, you can charge, you know, $10 for this hamburger plus 15%, right? Because we understand it costs more to operate at the airport because of, you know, the operating environment we have. And we really threw that off the table. And we said, we don't want to do that here in Sacramento. What we want to do in working with you, concessionaire, is we want to allow you to create a menu that is for every wallet and every palate. So if somebody wants to have a higher end experience, maybe it's a $40 or $50 steak, we want that on the menu. But we also want to have something on the menu that's for the value traveler. Maybe it's a chicken strips and french fries, right? Or maybe it's just a sandwich because somebody's in a hurry or it's a flight crew member. One of the things I think is really important for folks to remember, there's 4,000 folks who are working through life at the airport, myself included, who have badges. We have to eat as well. There's flight crew members. You know, we had during the summer, we had more than 200 nonstop flights a day. There's flight crew members as well. They have to eat. So how do we create a menu for everybody when we're open from effectively 3 in the morning for the first flight is at 5 in the morning, excuse me. And the last flight's at like 1 to 2 a.m. That's a really hard to serve all of those, you know, all of those palettes. And so we kind of just changed the whole thing. And that's the program that we're delivering now. And it's really exciting because you're going to be able to kind of experience the whole thing. It's kind of like choosing your own adventure. Whereas in the past, it was kind of like everything costs $20. We're changing the whole thing. And it's really exciting.
When will all of the restaurants be laid out? I mean, the ones that I saw were like Magpie, which is a local restaurant. I know there's a lot of other local restaurants that will be opening up. When will it be completed?
Yeah, so we will be done by the end of this year. Our goal is to actually have most of them, if not all of them, done before the holidays as well. So, and that's pretty much every single restaurant in the airport will have been kind of turned over by that point in rehab, refreshed, the new experiences. So it's a really exciting time.
Yeah, as we wind the conversation down, I'm just curious, when it comes down to money, state officials, lawmakers, the county, cities, I mean, many of them are facing tough budgetary years, including Sacramento County. So how is the airport impacted by that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So us at the Department of Airports and Sacramento International, we are operated independent of any of the fiscal budgets. We don't take any local taxpayer dollars. We're a complete enterprise fund. We're fully funded by the dollars that are generated at the airport. We're very mindful of the dynamics that are occurring, obviously at the county and everything. We're a department of the county. Our colleagues are at the county, right? So we're you know, provider service member of all of those agencies, so we pay very close attention into that. Nevertheless, we serve the broader community. We talked about those 8 counties, and we're proud to serve all 8 of those counties. One of the things that we work really hard to do is make sure that we at the Department of Airports are ready to serve that economy of all of those counties. And, you know, where we're what we're seeing kind of broadly is, you know, where things might be a little bit uneven in one area, another area of our region is doing quite well. And that's really a credit to the leadership of our broader community of doing a great job of diversifying our businesses. And so that's our job. Our track is to be ready, be safe, be efficient, and serve up a great experience for the passengers when they come through.
Stephen, thanks for stopping by.
Always a pleasure.
Stephen Clark is the Deputy Director of Commercial Development at Sacramento International Airport, talking about some of the improvement projects going on this year. Still ahead, Fat Tuesday is just 1 week away, and we are celebrating Mardi Gras with some New Orleans jazz. The Mighty Wallops join us to talk about their upcoming Mardi Gras performance, and we're also going to play some of their music that was recorded right here at Cap Radio. You're listening to Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.